Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, and maybe in space for all we know, but also, most importantly, to welcome the four talented, exciting, exuberant, dynamic players of the game who've joined me this week. We are lucky to have back with us Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Linda Smith, and Clement Freud, and will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the centre of Broadcasting House, in the centre of this great city of London. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin. Cats, that is the subject. Tell us something about those lovely creatures in 60 seconds, starting now.
McCavity, the mystery cat, was created by T.S. Eliot in his book Old Possums, etc.
Linda, challenge.
Sorry,
I think there was an hesitation, Linda, yes. Hopefully. Linda, you have the subject. A correct challenge, a point to you. Subject is cats. There are 55 seconds starting now.
Cats. My neighbours have four cats, and they seem to think that my pond is their own personal sushi.
Stephen challenged.
Two mice. My neighbours and my pond.
Good. Yes, well, that's a tough
it's
one, but
words
it's correct.
That catch
yes.
you out, isn't it?
No, Stephen. Hiss off.
You're sharp.
I'm being hissed now.
Yes. Stephen, there are 50 seconds available. Cats is back with you, starting now.
A musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber, based on Eliot's poem.
Paul Merton Chalmers.
I've heard it. It's not a musical.
It is billed as a musical.
Is
so,
it really?
Yes. But the audience appreciated your remarks so much, I give you a bonus point for that interjection. But Stephen was interrupted, so he keeps the subject, and he has 47 seconds available. Cats, starting now.
There's a dignified self-possession about the members of the feline species. They don't seem to need you. They rub around your ankles, beg for food, and occasionally allow themselves to be nuzzled and petted. But somehow one always feels that they have a private, personal secret which makes them superior to you. Worshipped by ancient Egyptians, cats.
Paul challenge.
The ancients.
Yes.
I think Stephen was trying to say Egyptians, but
I think he was trying to say Egyptians, but something else came out. So we say that is deviation from language as we understand it. And there are 29 seconds available starting now.
I suppose you can divide people up between cat lovers and cat haters, or people who don't particularly.
Clement challenge.
Two people.
Yes, there were too many people. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge, and you have 23 seconds. Tell us something about cats, starting now.
I once played a game called Trivial Pursuits, in which there was a question.
Stephen Fry, challenge.
I'm sure he played a game called Trivial Pursuit, not Trivial Pursuits.
No, this game was called Trivial Pursuits.
Oh, was it?
Okay. This one was.
That's a difficult one, isn't it? Because the actual game that we all know is Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, I didn't play that.
Pursuit is a much better game.
Oh, yeah. Another impossible task, isn't it? Shall I put it to the audience?
No,
I must give you the benefit of the doubt, because the game, as we all know it, is Trivial Pursuit. So you were correct, Stephen. 20 seconds on cats, starting now. And you've been challenged by Clement Freud again.
Hesitation.
Stephen was waiting for the booing to subside.
I'm being hissed.
Yeah, but you see, it all works out fairly. Stephen got a point for that one, and then Clement's got back in again. He's got a point for a correct challenge. He's got cats. He's got 19 seconds starting now.
What is it that has two legs and sleeps with cats? And the answer was not Mrs. Katz, but his secretary.
Paul challenge.
Well, I mean, what's he talking about?
I don't know what it was, but some of the audience seem to know. They obviously have very strange lives, some of those people in our audience over there, right. But the hesitation...
Definitely.
Yeah. After that, yeah. I'm sure you had to hesitate.
Yeah.
10 seconds are available for you, Paul, on cats, starting now.
When I look at the average cat, and I suppose I've met quite a few of them over the years, I don't, unlike Stephen, think that they have this great self-possession or they possess a secret.
Stephen,
no,
John...
Drivel. I'm sorry. My thumb just twitched hopelessly.
So if it twitched and it's an incorrect challenge,
yeah,
and
it's,
and you did buzz
before the
whistle,
trying to win back the love of the audience. Actually, yeah, that's all it is.
It'll take more than a twitchy thumb to do that.
So as you buzzed, as the whistle went, we call that all square, and we applaud now because the whistle went. And Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's now in the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud and Stephen Fry, equal in second place. And Linda, it's your turn to begin. Waterloo. Tell us something about that emotive subject in this game, starting now.
Waterloo, what a famous battle. It began when ABBA, the Swedish songsters, entered the charts in April 1974 with that very number, Waterloo. They then marched inexorably forward for the next week when they arrived at number two, laying siege to Jimmy Jacks's Seasons in the Sun.
Paul Merton.
Deviation. It was Terry Jacks.
Yes, I know. Yes, so well spotted, Paul. 37 seconds. You tell us something about Waterloo starting now.
Terry Jacks, of course, had a one hit with Seasons in the Sun, and as Linda says, it kept Waterloo off the number one spot. Now, that can't be right, because it came about 2 years earlier.
Stephen challenged.
Well, also a repetition of number.
Yes, he did repeat number, and he went off there. 29 seconds. You tell us something about Waterloo, Stephen, starting now.
I may be right in thinking that in 1815 there was a battle called Waterloo between Napoleon, who had just had quite a good victory at Ligny, beating the Prussian troops under Marshal Blücher, and then the next day they engaged Wellington's allied troops.
Clement Freud.
I'm sorry. Said Napoleon before Wellington. Quite a mistake.
Mistake? Well, if it's a sort of Freudian slip, I mean, that, then what happens is that...
No one's ever said that before, have they, Clement?
Stephen was interrupted, so he gets a point for being interrupted, and he keeps the subject, and there are 13 seconds. Waterloo starting now.
There are nicer mainline stations in London. I prefer Paddington myself, but Waterloo has a charm of its own. I admire the clock. Some of the platforms are elegant in their own way. The roof has a ceiling with glass and steel girders. Trains run regularly.
Stephen Fry with points in that round, including one for speaking as whistle went, has moved forward. He's now in the lead, just one ahead of Paul Merton and two ahead of Clement Freud and three ahead of Linda Smith. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, guinea pigs. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Guinea pigs are inaccurately named because they don't particularly resemble pigs or cost a guinea. I am told they make wonderful pets for children, not particularly...
Clement point challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, right, Clement? A point to you and the subject. 48 seconds, guinea pigs starting now.
Guinea pigs are a great Peruvian delicacy. If you go to a cathedral in the north of that country, you will see a picture of the Last Supper in which they were eating guinea pig. I was deeply impressed.
Paul challenged.
I think you were deeply sedated. There's no pictures of people eating guinea pigs in, yes, really, in Peru.
Yes.
Well, there's only one way to find out who's been there.
Anybody in the audience been to Peru?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, pictures of eating guinea pigs at the Last Supper.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true. Well, I'm glad you came. Thank you very much.
How much Freud was in the audience
I know,
today?
Yes. And how much did Clement Freud give you for that? Right, so we'll go with that lady in the audience and say...
I'm sorry.
Is the lady in the audience going to become a regular feature that we appeal to?
We could use it, couldn't we? It's a good gimmick. If we get a situation like that and Clement Freud comes on as often as he does and raises these particular points. So thank you very much anyway. We're deeply grateful. And he has 36 seconds to continue on guinea pigs starting now.
There's no reason in the world why one shouldn't eat guinea pig.
Stephen Fry challenge.
A repetition of eat.
You did have eat before. Yes. So
eating.
Oh, did you?
Eating.
They were eating before.
Was it?
Yes, yeah. He was eating.
So you were agreeing with me until Clement told you. That's fine. I just... Yeah.
All this is academic until we find out what the lady in the audience said.
She is our final arbiter.
Did she say eating or eating? You did actually say eating. You're quite right, Clement. So 32 seconds. You keep the subject. Guinea pigs starting now.
You keep them in a cage and give them to children so that they can ask their friends in to come and feed them lettuce, tomato, cross and black bean, salad cream.
Clement, Paul, you challenge.
You ran out of list.
He ran out of list. It is difficult to list, and so what's... hesitation, 23 seconds, guinea pigs with you, Paul, starting now.
They're enormous fun if you inflate them with helium gas, because they float across the London sky, and little children have been known in the East End of London to throw rocks at them as they pass gaily over their rooftops. It's an old English custom. I know people are listening to this programme all over the world. The lady in the audience will back me up. She's been to Peru. There's a wonderful thing that happens with guinea pigs. Treated very much as the national pet over here. There is a recreation council devoted to all kinds of aspects of
human life. Keep going to the whistle when again the extra point. You're equal now in the lead with Stephen Fry, just one ahead of Clement Freud. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, fungi. Would you tell us something about those in this game starting now?
Fun is what guinea pigs have, which is why there are so many of them. And guy is another name for a chap. Fungi is also a general mushroom.
Stephen, challenge.
I felt that was
Peter Elliott.
Was it? Was it? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
It was a hesitation, definitely.
Oh, well, yes. Clement decided it wasn't.
Well,
it
wasn't. No.
Lady in the audience.
What about the A definite hesitation. 49 seconds for you, Stephen, on fungi starting now.
Antonio Carluccio of the Neil's Yard restaurant seems to have made quite a representation.
Paul, you challenged.
Sort of hesitation, yeah.
It was. All right, Paul. 45 seconds, fungi starting now.
There is a form of mushroom that's called magic, and if you have this particular type of edible fungi, you can go through all kinds of wonderful things. You can imagine...
Clement, challenge.
Kinds.
Yes, unfortunately for
What's
you.
There?
Kinds, right? 36 seconds are available. Back with you, Clement. Fungi starting now.
The French are the great experts, and Antonio Carluccio, who is actually Italian, is an exponent of the art of dedicating and identifying fungi. Shiitake, morel, sep, chanterelle. There are so many, and in the Far East, where there's a...
Stephen, you challenge.
I was leaping onto a hesitation that barely existed.
Well, it was teetering on it, so we give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, because it went against you last time, Stephen, so... Stephen, I give you the benefit of the doubt. Fungi's back with you. 17 seconds starting now.
The Tartufi Bianchi, the white truffles of the Piedmont area, Alba in particular, are simply magnificent. Their fragrance will fill a room even the size of this auditorium here. Usually round about autumn, the hounds that sniff out, unlike the pigs that do it in France and Périgord for the black...
So Stephen Fry, he's moved forward. He's now gone into the lead ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud. They're following just behind. Stephen! Oh, here's a good subject, especially today with the audience we have in front of us, because the subject is the audience.
Oh, my Lord.
So will you tell us something about the audience in 60 seconds, starting now?
Handsome, exquisitely formed, beautifully thighed, wondrously coiffured, marvellously dressed.
Paul Merton,
chance. Has he seen the sixth row?
Any other challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No.
You missed them marvellously.
You creep.
You should be able to.
And 55 seconds, still with you, Stephen, on the audience starting now.
The audience I had with the Pope some years ago was something of a disappointment. He did not appreciate my embracing him quite as vigorously as I did, nor did he agree with me on my deeper theological views that he was a son of an arse for being so backward and right-wing and everything. But I'm not going to be political here. It was not a successful audience. I can go that far. Our audience here today, however, is magnificently, wondrously perfect, and I very much admire them for their patience and their understanding and the way they have sat through in this hot weather and listened to us rambling on for a minute or a few seconds at least on subjects chosen on the card. The audience sits there quietly, occasionally laughs, occasionally, oh dear.
Oh dear. And, Paul, you got in first.
Yes.
Yes. He deserves a round of applause. What often happens, somebody goes for a long time on a subject, gets no points for it. Someone comes in towards the end and gets the benefit of 16 seconds available with a correct challenge from you, Paul, the audience, starting now.
I can honestly say, of all the audiences we've had this evening, this is by far the best. There was a lot that came in about 7:30 that were rubbish. Oh, they were terrible. We were back there sweating buckets saying we're not going out in front of that lot. But thankfully, this lot are very, very good. It's two lots.
Stephen, challenge.
Repetition of lot.
There were too many lots there, yes. So, Stephen, you've got in with 2 seconds to go on the audience starting now.
The audience is patient, kind, tolerant.
So, Stephen Fry, speaking as the whistle went, once again gained that extra point, and others in the round. He's now taking a strong lead ahead of Paul Merton, followed by Clement Freud and Linda Smith. And, Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, fans. Tell us something about fans in just a minute, starting now.
They would be very useful objects here tonight on the hottest day of the year. The audience have been sitting here very calmly, very patiently. That's two, Barry. That's three.
Yes. And you spotted it yourself, but Stephen pressed first, so 53 seconds on fans with you, Stephen, starting now.
I once heard someone describe a play of Oscar Wilde's as Lady Vandermeer's Wind. It is, of course, not quite the right description of its title. Fans are very useful in hot weather because when they admire your work...
Linda Challenge.
I thought there was an urn, but I could be wrong. I probably am.
You are right.
Yes.
Well done.
You are.
You have 43 seconds. 43 seconds, fans, with you, Linda, starting now.
Fans were very popular in Victorian times when ladies would fan themselves because they'd be too hot, sitting very close to the fire. Of course, in those days, they hadn't invented the practice of moving further away from the fire. They were very backward.
Stephen,
a couple of fires.
There were two fires, yes. Mm-hmm. And 29 seconds are available on fans with you, Stephen, starting now.
Made of ivory and chicken skin, particularly in Paris, where they were in great vogue in the 18th and early 19th centuries. However, electric fans, which move round when you pull up the little knob and then stay still when you push it down again, are very popular too over here.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of very.
Very, yes, indeed. Right. Clement, 14 seconds. Tell us something about fans starting now.
Plymouth Argyle has some Arden fans who wear green and white and black scarves. And when the team gets a corner, they do a lap of honour because very rarely does that football association...
Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved forward. He's now in third place, just ahead of Linda, 1 point behind Paul Merton, and four behind Stephen Fry, who's still our leader. Linda, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is Feng Shui. Tell us something about Feng Shui in just a minute, starting now.
Feng Shui, which should be correctly pronounced a number 39, is the ancient Oriental art of getting money off of simpletons. It involves someone coming to your house and saying, oh, the sofa in front of the front door, that's really bad karma. If I want furniture moved, I get Pickford's, not some dopey hippie called Crispin in a caftan who hasn't washed since he last went to Glastonbury, which he's never come back from since he first went there in 1967. I don't understand what is wrong with people. The phrase more money than sense comes to mind, doesn't it? You sometimes... Oh, must have...
Well, the audience certainly enjoyed it. And you went for, my goodness me, 39 seconds.
I went for 39 seconds.
No, 49 seconds. 49 seconds. Only 11 seconds available. I think she, because you applauded and she kept going through the applause, I think she should have a bonus point for what she'd contributed, don't you?
After all, she's only a lady.
Yes. Thank you.
Feng Shui, with you, Clement, starting now.
There's no aspect of life to which you can't...
It's probably true, but...
It's probably true, yes.
A little bit too gnomic.
Right. 7 seconds for you to tell us something about this subject, Stephen, starting now.
Feng Shui, as Linda told us it should be pronounced, certainly does seem to be sweeping the nation, and I would heartily endorse her view that it is a load of old arse. Mm.
Right, so Stephen was speaking as the whistle went again that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And it's also your turn to begin, Stephen. And the subject is going to the gym. I don't know whether this is one of your habitual pastimes, but talk on it. 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
One look at my homed body, which resembles nothing so much more than a bin liner full of yogurt, will tell you that the gym and I are strangers. I have been to a gymnasium more than once. Interestingly, by the way, the word comes from the Greek gymnos, meaning naked. People are not entirely naked. They're nude, bogger.
And Chairman Foyd Charles.
I'm afraid too naked.
There's too much nakedness, yes. It doesn't come over so well on radio, but you can't repeat the words, which he did. 44 seconds available. Clement, going to the gym starting now.
Going to the gym is uplifting, and coming back from the gym is quite a lot of fun. Being at the gym is so hugely boring. All those awful machines called Pilati, or perhaps Pirati, which...
Stephen, challenged.
Is there a machine called Pilati? I thought it was a type of exercise, isn't it? Pilates?
There is a machine as well.
Oh, well, that's good. Good, thank you. Well, I think Clement deserves a point for sharing that information.
We learn a lot of things in this show, that's Stephen, yes. But your interruption means Clement has another point, but he can keep the subject and can continue for 26 seconds. Going to the gym, Clement, starting now.
An excellent way to go to the gym is to start at Marble Arch, pursue Oxford Street, make towards Piccadilly Circus, and then hove to the left, which would be east, in the direction of Covent Garden, whereafter there is an establishment called the Pineapple Club, a sort of gymnasium for the upper market, well-heeled women and men who live in that part of...
Clement Foyd gained points in that round, including one for speaking as a whistle went. He's moved forward into second place now, just only 3 points.
To a master at work, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, he's had some practice, 34 years, but it's paid off, and he really is absolutely excellent. And, Paul, your turn to begin, and the subject is Down the Plug Hole. Tell us something about Down the Plug Hole in just a minute, starting now.
Down the Plug Hole is a horrible world of hairiness. Peruvian guinea pigs breed down there. Ask the lady in the audience, she's lived through it. They get in the dark and they wall together and suddenly, before you know, there's more hamsters. No, don't say hamsters before, I just said hamsters twice.
Stephen, you chap.
By avoiding saying hamsters twice, he managed to say it twice.
Right, he did it twice. So you've got in first, Stephen, 47 seconds down the plug hole, starting now.
I have a dim memory of a musical song saying my bibby's gone down the plug hole. I don't remember much more of it, but clearly...
Paul Merton.
My baby's gone down the drain, my babies have gone down the plug hole, I'll never see baby again. That's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
No, it's not the end.
That's it, is it?
Is it not? Does it go on?
Yes.
And then the angels say, your baby is perfectly happy.
Not gone.
He won't need a bath anymore. Your baby has gone down the plug hole, not lost, just gone before.
Wasn't that a touching moment of memorabilia? I mean, I guess you couldn't... There's not a dry eye in the audience after that.
Sweating.
I know. But where are we in just a minute?
I challenged, but I turned out to be a wrong challenge.
Thank you very much. Right, 42 seconds. Stephen, still with you, down the plug hole, starting now.
This show was in danger of going down the plug hole earlier until it was rescued by some skill, wit and judgment on the part of our beloved chairman and the three other panellists.
Clement Foyd, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Nobody. But nobody would call you a beloved chairman.
Stephen just
Can we have a vote on it?
Steve, all right, ask the audience to vote on it. If you agree with Stephen, cheer. If you disagree, boo. Right, yes.
Nicholas, you have gone down this mob rule route before and it didn't work out that well for you. I think we should let sleeping audiences lie and they're definitely
I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
But cheer for how much you love Nicholas.
No, please, come back.
I think we'll leave it at that and say... but Clement Foyd, that was an incorrect challenge. I'd have given against you whatever you said after that. Stephen has another point. He has down the plug hole starting now.
Clement's challenge, of course, went down the plug hole just now, and I think...
Clement challenged again.
Of course.
Oh, really?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. So, in spite of what Clement said, you see, I'm always very fair. Yeah. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have 31 seconds down the plug hole, starting now.
There was a song which began, a mother was bathing a baby one night, the youngest of eight and a terrible mite. She only turned round to get soap from the rack. She wasn't a minute. But when she turned back, the thing had gone. In anguish she cried, "Oh, where is my..." The angel replied, "My baby has gone down. I've been challenged."
You were challenged. Because it said repeatedly...
Theatrical music. Freud, the musical.
I know. It's the old-time musical, just a minute version of the old... Yes, because you didn't want to repeat the word baby, so you paused instead, and Stephen came in with a challenge. So, Stephen, the 8 seconds on down the plug hole, starting now.
And what a wonderful song it is. I think I'm going to go home and learn it, because I'd love to be able to perform it professionally. My baby's gone down the plug hole. What a lovely thought.
So Stephen Fry got more points in that round, has increased his lead, and we're into the final round. And actually, Stephen, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is email. So will you tell us something about email in this game, starting now?
The email of the species is more deadly than the mail, you might argue. It's swept the world, has it not? The net, internet, call it what you will. It has made an enormous impression on the lives of the entire planet populations. It seems that now correspondence can become faster, quicker, easier, cheaper, and more thorough. You can contain applications, pictures, music, sound within email, such that now you can upload and download files.
Linda challenged.
A bit mean, but was that hesitation?
No, it wasn't hesitation. What about the load?
Oh, and now as well, and load.
Upload and download are both separate words.
Right. 31 seconds. Continue on email, Stephen, starting now.
All you have to do is send a piece of email to another person and use their address, their email formulation, which has that curious at symbol, an A with a half a circle or three quarters perhaps around it, and they're instantly at their box, their inbox, which is sort of...
Clement challenge.
Three theirs.
Yes, three
yes,
theirs.
Yes, really, yes, right, so we're there, there. Right, 14 seconds. You have got email, Clement, starting now.
I know nothing about email other than dots and comms and obliques and slashes come in orders which I do not comprehend nor have any desire to whatever. Email people...
Well, as I said, that was to be the last round, and indeed it was. And just to give you the final situation, well, they all contributed so much. But when it comes to the points, let me tell you that Linda didn't get quite as many as Paul Merton, and he didn't get quite as many as Clement Freud, and none of them got quite as many as Stephen Fry. So, Stephen, out in the lead, we say, you are the winner this week. And... it only remains for me to say thank you to our four delightful and talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Linda Smith and Stephen Fry. And also I thank Janet Staplehurst for keeping the score for me and blowing her whistle, and Claire Jones, who is our producer-director on this show, and we're grateful to Ian Messiter, the original creator of Just a Minute. And we're very grateful to this audience who have sat in this hot studio on a hot summer's day in the radio theatre here for coming along and cheering us on our way. From our audience, from the panel, from everyone else, and me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in next time we play Just a Minute.